Hello again, and welcome to The Master's Voice. I am Celestial, and you are welcome to this channel. To old and new subscribers alike, you are very welcome. If you are a new subscriber, you might want to check out the audio feeds for this channel that you can find on Apple Podcasts. You can find it on Spotify and SoundCloud. Unfortunately, Google Podcasts have shut their doors for reasons that I'm not quite up to date on. So The Master's Voice no longer has a Google Podcasts platform, but there are multiple places that you can listen to the blog. There's Facebook and there's Instagram, Telegram, TikTok, and recently added Twitter. There's also Rumble, BitChute, and Brighteon, where you can go and find a lot of the playlists for certain things that were no longer able to be hosted here because of the privacy policies of YouTube. Tonight, I am giving a dream that I had last night. So today is early morning. It's about almost 1 a.m. It's early morning, April the 23rd. And the dream I had was yesterday, going into the dawn hours, April 22nd, 2024. And before I start this dream, I would like to let the audience know certain things. The Lord is kicking up a lot of prophecies that I already covered about 3 years ago, 4 years ago. So I started the blog in May of 2019, which means in another couple of weeks, the blog is going to be 5 years old. I started it May 29, 2019. And so in another few weeks, the Master's Voice Prophecy blog is going to be 5 years old. That means that for 5 years, I've been obediently bringing out the Lord Jesus's revelations, truths, warnings, rebuke, exhortations, and prophetic revelations, prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ in written formats that people can go and read on themastersvoice.com. That's www.the-masters-voice.com. That's where the blog is. That's where all the written prophecies are. So that means for at least 5 years publicly, everything that I've been keeping in my journal, that I've been keeping in my various notebooks, and that I've also been safeguarding in my heart, has been made public for whoever is interested. No matter where you live around the world, you can go to the Master's Voice Prophecy blog. You can come here to YouTube. You can go to any of my other platforms and you can see for yourself. And I strongly recommend and I challenge you, whether you are a new person or you've been here for a couple of weeks, a couple of months, I strongly challenge you to go and find out what the truth is for yourself. My charge from the Lord is to act as one speaking in the earth to bring forth the truth of what God is showing me. I'm not compelled, however, to convince anyone to listen to the truth of what God is showing me, because this blog is actually a test of people's hearts. And I'm going to share a few things that actually happened today when I was praying for a friend before I get into the message, just to show that God is always updating me. That's what I'm trying to say. So I've noticed recently, I would say over the last 3 months, that the Lord is kicking up a lot of things that have already been put in print since 2019. That doesn't mean that the prophecy started in 2019. I've shared here that the Lord started speaking to me in 2012 and telling me that we are in what he called the last of the last days. Now, 2012 is a long time ago. From 2012 until 2022, that's 10 years already. So 2012 is a long time ago, and that should tell us right away that when the Lord is talking about last days, God is speaking from his very long-wearing, eternal perspective. So God is not intending to run out of energy to finish all the prophecies of this blog, all the prophecies that are not yet fulfilled from the Old Testament, and all the prophecies that are not yet fulfilled in the New Testament. And the New Testament has some pretty heavy hitting and scary prophecies, like what you can find in Revelation 6, like what you can find in Revelation 12, Revelation 13, 17, 18, and all the way up until the end of the book. Revelation is a very challenging book. And if you haven't read it yet, I strongly advise you to go back to your Bible and start delving into what traditionally most Christians think is too scary for them to know. So I've been stewarding these prophecies for a long time, is what I'm trying to say. And I noticed that recently the Lord has come and started kicking up some of them that I've already spoken about. I would say 2019, 2020, I've made mention of the fact that America will have a civil war since 2019. So that was the first time it was revealed to me. I spoke of that. In 2020, the Lord added to that, that not only will it be a civil war, but there's going to be a beast system here, and America is going to be the central seat of that beast system. So if you're still laboring under the misconception that the end times kingdom of the beast, the Antichrist, whatever you want to call it, is going to raise up and it's going to be seated in Persia, it's going to be seated in Iraq, or you're thinking that it's Iran, or you're thinking that it's the Vatican, you're laboring under a misconception. And what happens when people are laboring under misconceptions is that they're going to get hurt. So the first thing that you need to know is that God says that war is coming to this country. War is coming to this country. And sometimes when I'm just working, or sometimes when I'm reading a book, reading my Bible, the Lord will just start saying to me, my daughter, it's coming. It is coming. And you can imagine, because I'm a person just like everyone else, you can imagine the effect of hearing the Father's voice saying something over and over and over, where you're not exactly in a position to say, Lord, should I rise and flee to the hills now? Should I do this and do that? Because a person may not necessarily know what their next step is, it tends to produce this often kind of pointless fear, honestly, and you can't live in that situation. So as I shared this dream that God gave me this morning, I woke up from this dream and I was just literally looking at the ceiling. I was looking at the ceiling because this is yet another dream of running away, yet another dream of fleeing. You've heard these dreams over and over. The only one that comes to my mind now is the prophecy Run, where I said I found myself in a gymnasium with thousands and thousands and thousands of people. It was as big as that stadium that they have in North Carolina for the basketball team. And more people were arriving. And what I saw in that dream is that we were not being bussed in. So the government was not involved in, you know, a rescue mission, sending out buses to provide at least a shuttle service for people. People were driving themselves to that safe place. People were driving themselves to that safe place. And then only a few days ago, in this same April of 2024, I shared another dream. I just tucked it at the end of a message I was giving to warn Christians that you need to pray to God to give you grace. You need to pray to God to give you self-control, because when situations are tumultuous, when they're out of your control, people might be able to get on your nerves. And I was sharing about a situation where I was with a family. This is what God does. God will just put me in scenarios where I find myself with different families, you know, to see how people respond and how people are acting. And I shared that I was with a family where everybody else in the family, we all suffered the same devastating shock. Something happened that forced all of us to wake up in the middle of the night and flee from that house that we were living. And the shock affected the little girl. I think she was maybe 5 or 6 years old. It affected the little one very badly. And she became nonverbal because of what happened to her. She didn't want to eat. She didn't want to drink. And the parents were trying to fix the situation. They were trying to figure out. There was a brother there of about middle teen age. And then there was a daughter who should have known better. And I was speaking about what a nuisance this young woman was until I had to sharply rebuke her, because she was really trying all my available patience at that time. So I keep having these kinds of dreams of sudden intervention, sudden shock, having to run. And then on top of that, the Lord keeps saying to me, daylight, evening time, just woke up from a dream, about to step into a meeting. The Lord keeps telling me, it is surely coming, my daughter. It is surely coming. America is going to have a war. America is going to suffer an attack. America is going to be defeated by her enemies. America is going to suffer loss. And so by now, you've been hearing these things. Even if you're new, I know you've heard it more than once. You've been hearing these things, and the challenge for listeners, old and new, will be, you cannot cry these things away. You cannot pray these things away. You likewise cannot remain in a personal paralysis where you say things like, but I don't know what to do. If you say that you don't know what to do, that is an honest confession of where you are. But if you think that the solution is to simply blurt out, but I don't know what to do, and then sit there, when you hear this dream, you will realize that we're all going to face choices in life, including you, who thinks that once you say, I don't have a plan, then that's the plan. If your plan is not to have a plan and just sit there and not even go to God, to start to seek Him with everything in you, to find out, Father, do you have a plan for me? I'm going to pray, God, and I'm going to fast to get more of your mind. Christians, you need to know that there's this thing called the mind of Christ. You need to know that it's not just mentioned in the Bible as Jesus's brain. The mind of Christ doesn't just belong to Jesus. The mind of Christ is available to all of us. The mind of Christ is actually a gift. It's one of the gifts that I operate in, whereby the Bible says that when the Holy Spirit come, He is going to take of the thing that belong to me, me being this same Jesus. He will take of the things that belongs to me. He will take of the things that belong to God. He will take of God's secret things and make them known to you. The Holy Spirit is not going to come to you out of the clear blue and start downloading to you if you do not have a relationship with Him. If you are walking in a worldly manner, you do not have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. He's not going to take up a single thing that belongs to God and start telling you. That's why in the home, maybe a young person has been watching this channel, feels convicted, starts cleaning up their life, starts getting rid of all the things that might make them unpleasing to God. And then God will start speaking to the young person. And then next thing you know, I'm getting an email from them. God has been saying this to me and that, but my mom and dad don't listen and things like that. It's a challenge for a young person if you are under the control of people who are not prepared. It's a challenge for a woman if you are submitted to a man who is arrogant, a man who thinks that he can't listen to a female messenger on the internet because I suffer not a woman to teach. I can tell you right now that as he suffers not me to teach, he's just going to suffer, plain and simple. A lot of these men are going to learn lessons that they can't come back from. And at the same time, a lot of men are prepared. A lot of men are willing to take so-called intel, information from wherever, as long as they can perceive by the Spirit that it is true. That's a person who's not proud. That's a person who's willing to move as led by God, no matter who is talking to them. So I have this gift. I have this gift to benefit me even in my basic daily life. Celestial, don't believe what that person is telling you. Celestial, stay home today. Celestial, don't go there. I have this hedge operating in my life. And the desire of the Lord, even while He is judging America, is that He is showing me things that as I bring them to you, you have the opportunity to tap into them, to draw from them what is true, and then to go to God, to say, Father, how does this blueprint affect my daily life and my family? Some will do this and some will not do it. And this is simply where we are. Today's prophecy is called Nuclear Devastation in the United States, April 22nd, 2024. I've spoken of the fact that nuclear weapons will be used here. America is going to be devastated by the use of nuclear force. Russia and China are going to use nuclear force against this country. The prophecy is called Russia, War, and Conquest. And that prophecy is from sometime in 2022. I will find the link and leave it below after a few days when I update. So that is one of the prophecies. But another prophecy that directly fulfills scripture is called a hot and biting wind. And everyone is always quoting that scripture where it says, and the time will come that their eyes will dissolve away in their heads and their tongues will dissolve in their mouths. Here is the verse in its fullness. This is Zechariah 14 and verse 12. And this shall be the plague with which the Lord will strike all the people who fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall dissolve while they stand on their feet. Their eyes shall dissolve in their sockets, and their tongues shall dissolve in their mouths. This is an ancient Bible verse, ancient as ancient can be, old as old can be. And if the Lord gives you wisdom and understanding, you will know that what this prophet here, Zechariah, was writing was that he saw people struck with what he could only describe as a plague. He saw it as an illness. And he said that the flesh of people would dissolve while they were still standing on their feet. Their eyes would dissolve, or in other words, melt in the socket, and the tongues of people would dissolve in their mouths. So this is basically saying that the prophet saw that people would be vaporized, standing right where they were. And this is as old as anything. And yet this man is talking about what the Lord revealed to me is nuclear devastation. And that prophecy on my blog is called A Hot and Biting Wind. And in that prophecy, the Lord said that a heat will come here to America, nuclear attacks that would even enter the cradles, which means where the babies sleep. He said that it would even enter the cradles where babies sleep, and they would lose their lives while laying in the cradles. He said that this hot and biting wind will come into the precious, in the palaces, that means where the rich people are sitting. The hot and biting wind was going to take away the young and the old, the rich and the poor, and it would not even spare the infants. So when you hear something like that, you know that God has judged a nation. The only problem with America is that America keeps insisting that she is not judged. And you cannot turn away judgment by the movement of the mouth. You can't turn away judgment by anger. And you can't turn away judgment by saying, it's not us. We are not judged. Here is the prophetic word. Here is the dream, the prophetic dream that the Lord gave me. So this is what the Lord said to me when I woke up. This is the preamble to the dream. There will be war in the United States, war with nuclear implications. Guns and bombs will be used in this war, but also nuclear weapons. Areas of the USA will become uninhabitable, and people will run for their lives, carrying everything they can to make a new start. The outcome of this will be successful for some and not successful for others. It is necessary to seek Yah about everything, because the future is not promised. But the wise will look for God, and the people who know their God shall be strong and do mighty exploits. So as I just explained, hearing that war is coming to the United States is nothing new. If you are still tapping into TV to give you the truth, you are light years behind the Holy Spirit. Our job as believers is to keep up as much as we can with the Holy Spirit, because it is the mind of Christ that I just described that will tell us what the future will be for us. It's not the mind of MSNBC. It's not the mind of Fox or CNN. It's not the mind of the experts, the mind of the pundits. It's not the mind of the politicians or the White House. It is not the mind of Bloomberg, Jerome, what's his name, and the Fed. The outcome for every living soul in the United States will be what the mind of the living God is for this nation and for all the people who live in this nation. So war is coming, and there's nothing you can do about that. That's an overarching judgment. Below the overarching judgment lies the choices that we each will make. So I dreamt that I was running from an unexpected attack on the United States, a nuclear attack. I was running from that nuclear attack with a family that I don't know. And it was a blended family. So the last family that I was with in that dream, where that girl was getting on my last nerve, was a white family. I don't know those people. And I said that I was out. In these dreams, I'm never in New York City. I'm always out in the middle of the country. And where I was in that dream, they had these really lovely pine trees that have the bristly needles, not the sharp ones that people favor for their Christmas trees. It's the other ones that look almost kind of puffy, and they're very, very, very dark green. This family that I was with this time was a blended family, white parents with two natural daughters, either two natural daughters or one natural daughter and a baby. And they had a black son who I think was an athlete because of the way he carried himself. So they were a blended family. And in this dream, I never ever saw the mother, the daughter, or the baby. I never saw them, and I never saw the other third party that they had working in tandem with them. But the one thing that God showed me about this family is that this is the kind of family that has already planned for eventualities. So the last family I was with, we all got the same shock at the same time. But the blessing with that family is that their response time to something that they were not expecting was pretty good. However, because that family didn't actually have an escape route in place, escape plans in place, they ended up going to what I've been talking about, which is these government approved shelters. It might be something that the CDC will set up and say, this is an access point, this is an access point, go to your nearest access point and keep safe. Or it might be something that FEMA will set up and say, this is the FEMA camp place, or this is the FEMA safe spot, safe zone, go there. So that's where we ended up because there was no plan in mind. This family had seen light years to deal with eventualities, and so it was different. This blended family was well prepared. And so we spent the majority of this dream moving in what I would almost call a luxury military convoy. This father was all over the situation. He was a man who had invested considerable time, considerable money, considerable preparations for the fact that something would happen in America. So this was not a wait and see man. This was not like many of the people out there who, oh, we're testing you and we're waiting to see if it's true. No, no, no. Whether this man knows of anything coming or not, this is the kind of man who lived ready. And so the way we left in this dream, God was showing me that there's some people here, not even two drops of struggle rain is going to fall on them because they have the means, but also because they have the motivation to get ready and protect themselves. And so we spent most of this dream in a very well-prepared van. And I was riding with the dad and the son, and God was allowing me to see the relationship between these two racially diverse people, a white father and a black son. And any information that I was getting about the rest of the family, any information that I was getting actually about what was going to happen to us, I was getting the way I always get information. God was telling me that. He was just giving me spiritual downloads into my heart as during the dream as well as when I woke up. So what happened was a news report went out in the whole country that there had been a nuclear event at one of the United States ports. So at some harbor, there was an attack. There was a devastating bombing, and there was absolutely no information on who had dropped the bomb, sent that missile, or anything like that. This news report was so urgent that it was running in nonstop 15-minute segments. So let's say it happened at a few minutes to 1 p.m. From 1 p.m. to 1:15, everything that was known about the bombing, the attack, and the devastation on the target would be run. And then immediately at 1:15, it would loop again so that people who were just finding out, the end effect of it was that whoever was finding out at whatever time they were finding out at would be able to jump in. And even if you jumped in at 1:30, if you jumped in at 1:30, you could get the entire story from 1:30 to 1:45. If you jumped in at 1:39 and you only got the last few minutes, all you had to do was hang on, because at 1:45, the entire story was going to start again. It was back to back, complete coverage. All stations were running the same thing. There was an interruption in all transmissions across the United States talking about the fact that America had been bombed with a nuclear bomb. This was not just an ordinary bomb. It was a nuclear bomb that had happened at one of the ports. It happened on the sea. The sea harbor was bombed, and there was no information on who did it. So with this block to block to block coverage, all America came to know was that we had been bombed, and nobody knew who. And when I first heard it, because of the kind of song and dance that we went through at 9/11, I was immediately suspicious in this dream. I was watching the coverage. I was hearing what was happening. I was listening to this repetitive news coming on because the children weren't home. The daughter and the son, they were still at school. And I will point out to you how beneficial it is to talk to your teens and train your teens and insist that your children listen to you. Because when terrible things happen in this country and you have the kind of child who is giddy when things happen, your child will not be quick thinking enough to rise above, because young people are very strange. They're very strange and a little unhinged. So when terrible things happen, they're nervous and they're scared because they're young. But at the same time, they've got this weird excitement in them where they want to be close to the scene of the action and they want to know more. And so if you have a child who might be tempted to stay at school and hang out with their friends and be scrolling instead of immediately sprinting home like these two well-trained children, that might cost you in the future because you don't sit. Your children, who are of able years of understanding, if you don't sit them down and talk to them, that might cost your family. So I'm listening to this repetitive news. I hear what they're saying, but I had serious doubts. And so what I did is what I always do. I don't go to the internet. I went to Jesus and I began to inquire of the Lord. And I said, Lord, first of all, are we really bombed? Are we truly bombed? And if we are bombed, did America bomb herself? Because I've been sitting here for 5 years after all, and I've been speaking about how America is going to pull out all the stops on false flags. If you think that the past false flags that this country have had is anything, you will see that she has been working on some of the best of her best. And you will have to watch the news closely and inquire of the Lord to know, is this a true thing that has happened? So I said, God, did America bomb herself? And are we really bombed? And the Holy Spirit was answering me. And the Lord said, yes, yes, they have been bombed. But they don't know who did it. They don't know where it came from. And they don't want to say who it is in case they provoke a secondary attack or they provoke a nation that is innocent. They don't know who to hit with a retaliatory strike, because if that's the wrong person, that nation is going to hit America even harder than they've already been hit, because of the fury of being wrongly accused at a time like this. It is an untagged missile, Celestial. It is brand new technology. You can send a drone to bomb someone and it will leave a paper trail. But if you send an untagged missile, you won't even see it coming until you see it coming. America is in a war. So that is what the Lord was saying. I was suspicious and I asked, I said, is it a real bomb? Is it a real bomb or is it a false flag? And Lord, what is going on? And he said, yes, it's a real bomb, but America right now doesn't know who did it. And sure enough, even with the back to back to back, every 15 minutes, the story repeats. And then if there's anything new, they tuck it in there. And then it's back at the 15 minute mark, 30 minute mark, 45 minute mark, and on the hour and so on. No nation was named. America never said who did anything to them. And God said, first of all, they don't know who bombed them. And second of all, they're so scared of naming names, even the normal or regular or suspected suspects. So scared of saying it's Iran, terrified of saying that it's China, will definitely not open their mouth and say it's Russia. America wasn't naming any names. And God said, because it's new technology that they've been hit with, they are running their technology back. If this is a drone, I suppose, I don't know anything about the military, so this is just a supposition. But I suppose that if someone sends a drone to you, you will see the flight path of the drone. You will be able to say, this drone came from Tehran. This drone came from North Korea. But this thing called an untagged missile, I guess it's a missile that cloaks itself or hides itself because it's not tagged, meaning that you can't see its point of origin. And God was saying, it's brand new technology. And with an untagged missile, you're never going to see it coming until you see it coming, meaning when it comes and causes fire at your location, that is your first information, your first wake-up call to know that a missile has entered your sovereign airspace. So they also didn't want to call any names because the Lord was saying that bombing a country like America is so high tension that should America immediately say, like the way they did within hours of 9/11. Should America just wake up and say it's Iran in today's climate? Iran is going to say it's not us. But if you want it to be us, we can go. Russia might say it's not us. But if you accuse us and you strike us, we can tango. So because of that, no names were being named. Next thing I saw is that the children of that family were very well trained. Teenagers, a boy and a girl, teenage, school going age, and they knew to run home immediately. I was already at the home. I don't belong to that family. I'm not part of that family, but I was at home. And the mother and the baby were in the house somewhere. The dad was the first person to arrive. So tires screeching down the drive. These people didn't live close to the street. These people actually lived behind what looks like a very helpful stand of private trees. So this is where the school bus will drop the kids off at a front road. It will drop the kids off at a front road. And then there's a bit of a 5-10 minute walk actually inward through trees along a personal path that belonged to these people before you finally come out into a clearing, and there they have their home. The father comes screeching down that drive and he didn't even enter the house. I'm in the house. I can't see this man, but I'm seeing what he's doing in the dream as an independent observer. The first thing he did was he went to the garage and he pulls up another part of the garage that I just realized this family does not use. So they have a garage where they pull cars out from, but then there's another garage there, and that one's usually locked. This man pulls this thing up and he begins to gas and bring out and park in the driveway, not one, not two, but three well-maintained all black minivan that were not at all mini in size. I guess the only thing I can call them is a minivan because that's the size, but these were not minivans. These were the big, almost celebrity sized, but not the kind that they use on tour, but they were big, big vans, deluxe vans that had all necessities in them, speaking from what was in the van that I ended up sitting in, a fully soundproofed interior. So once those doors were slid shut and all the windows went up, whatever people were doing in the van would never give away the presence of people in the van. And they also had this kind of whisper silent engine. You start up the van, but it barely makes a sound. And even while it's moving, it's very non-intrusive in sound. This was specialized work that this man had had done on the van. All black window tints. I mean, once it's shut, you're not seeing who's in there. Large storage spaces in the back that had been specially customized. TVs and all the headrests, two rows, and then a storage row at the back. And all the TVs had separate consoles. And the people had done this so that usually if you have TVs in the headrest of a car, you put one DVD in and then the teenager has to watch what the baby wants to watch and the girl has to watch what the boy wants to watch. It shows the same thing. These people had customized their car just the way it is in the airplane. Every person sits and watches what they want to watch. And all-wheel drive, specially fitted and very strong and responsive tires. And so the vans looked to me like the father brought them off the dealership and then he took them to the kind of men who work for the army or used to work for the army, because these were no longer family vans in any manner. They were very sturdy, they had racing capability, and they were used for harder work than just the default school run. So this is not where you just put your kids in and you drive them to school and bring them back. No, this man had had them customized brand new vans. And the fact that the dad had to run in and regas them showed that these were not cars that this man was in the habit of bringing out for people in the area to know that he had bought them, customized them, put them away, and he was not keeping gas in them. They were in a second locked garage being kept safely for the day that they would be needed. The next person who came running home was this boy. This boy seemed like an athlete, about 16 to 17 years old, not yet fully grown and huge head of hair. He kept his hair really wide, and his sister was not far behind him. She came home on a separate bus about 30 minutes after him. This boy came flying home. He went straight into his father's arms, and they just stood there holding each other out in the yard. Again, I'm not out in the yard. I'm seeing all this from inside the house. And I was seeing how loved and comfortable this young man was in his adopted family. He and his father shared some few words, and I saw his dad telling him something in his ears while he was nodding and clinging to his dad. And then suddenly the dream changed, and we're in the cars, and we're moving like a military convoy. Three vans. Mom is in the second van, an extremely capable woman, okay? She has strapped her baby back in the car seat, sisters next to the baby in the car seat. And then in the third van was a man that I never saw. I never saw this third man. But what was coming to me in this dream is that this third man was a person that this family knew and trusted. He was also not of their ethnicity. It very strongly laid upon my heart that this man was a Hispanic man, but they trusted this man. And all I could see of this man, anytime that I would try to look back, every time that I would try to look back, even though I can't see, all I saw is the blacked out front windows where he was driving and his forearms. He was wearing a t-shirt and he had pretty hairy forearms and the sun reflecting on the windscreen. I couldn't see this man. But in that man's van, he had everything that this family was keeping by way of provisions. In the main van, Dad was driving, keeping money and passports and everything tucked in a waterproof pouch under the car seat. And I also knew that there was a gun in one of the vans, but I didn't know who had the gun. I just knew there's a gun with us. There's a gun with us. And so God was giving me all this information. God was telling me what was going on, because I'm polite and I'm not going to be asking people about their private things. So whenever I wanted information, whenever I had a question, I just asked the Lord, and then the information would just come flooding into my head, such as, yes, Celestial, there is a gun. One of them, meaning one of the three adults who's driving, one of them has the gun. But God was telling me that gun will not be used because the father does not believe in the use of guns. He has this gun purely for deterrence, meaning that if anybody tries to get aggressive with this family, if anybody tries to stop them, hurt them, or steal anything among their belongings, the father will bring the gun out, but he is not a man that is motivated to use the gun. The next thing the Lord started telling me is, you are going across the border to Mexico, and the passports of everyone are under the father's seat. And if for any reason that father feels that it is safer to split up, he will give the passports of some of the children to the mother to increase their chances of survival. He will tell her to go with the male escort driving the third van by another route to make the family have better chances of escape. And so we're rolling in this tight military convoy in broad daylight. And I thought for sure that moving with these big black cars is going to invite curiosity. People are surely going to say, I saw three hulky, hefty vans with special ops tires going that way. But the strange reality is that with this thing that had happened, most Americans were completely shell-shocked, paralyzed, and did not have a plan. And so we hardly saw any traffic getting out of that nice area where these people lived, because they had their own property deep in the trees, as I said. And so when we got out, and with everything planned so well, our exit hardly took any time. Maybe just the time it took for mom and the other guy to load the van, to put people in, and the other kids got home as fast as they could. And so this exit went largely unnoticed by the kind of people who lived in the general area where this family is. Another smart thing I saw about this family, and I wrote it here, such smart people, because this is how I am with my dreams. Every single aspect that the Lord shows me, maybe it's because of my profession, I'm used to taking notes, I'm used to keeping my mouth closed, I'm used to listening to unspoken cues. In my profession, people lie a lot, and in between the lies, you actually hear what they want to say. It's the same thing with conversation. People have no idea how much they tell me as they speak. They're speaking this way, and the entire motive of their heart is going that way. And it is that thing that I'm listening to and not what people are saying. So this was such a smart family. They didn't do any goodbyes. They didn't do any, have you heard what's going on, Jennifer? how are you and Todd handling this? They didn't reach out to anyone. They didn't do goodbyes. They didn't do phone calls. They melted out of that house like barbecue smoke after gutting their home of everything that they thought was most important, and they disappeared. Let this be an indication of where some people's minds are at. Some people are living in mansions and they have sucked the personality of the mansion onto themselves. You ask them who they are and they will tell you, I'm the person who lives in a Beverly Hills mansion. Can't you see me? They have absorbed the personality of their money. They have absorbed the personality of their 2 million followers. They have absorbed the personality of their successful presidential campaign. People absorb their accomplishments. And therefore, when bombs hit the nation, it is very hard all of a sudden to rip off that personality that you're attached to and suddenly become someone who is able to downsize and move. Mrs. Lot had this problem in the Bible. For those who think that these prophecies are so out there that you can't find the Bible in them, every time I wake up, I find the Bible in the things that the Lord has shown me. I can see Bible all threaded through the Lord's messages here in 2024, and I cast my mind back to ancient times. Lot's wife had this problem. Lot's wife lived in a place where, to be honest, she should have been the first one out the door with her daughters and her husband, because nothing in a so-called Christian woman should have been attached to that debauched, disgusting, highly gay, rapist, inhospitable place that she lived. But she was attached to her life there. And when the Lord endeavored to pluck the family out because he was getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, shockingly, we see Lot's wife turning back after they have been specifically told that one of the requirements of this escape is to not look back. Many times when I speak of the destruction of America, the Lord puts into the prophecies that all around the world, no matter where Americans are, when they see the destruction raining down upon this nation, they're going to cry. They're going to sob. It doesn't matter if they're saved or not. God says that their hearts are going to be excessively grieved and they're going to be weeping over the harlotry of this nation as if they're weeping over the greatest country on earth. And that's because they believe in their hearts, despite what God is saying, that this place is the greatest country on earth. Greatest with trans, greatest with LGBTQ, greatest with greed, greatest with unmerciful aggression towards others and wars, greatest with unjust laws, greatest with a lot of things, but not greatest, no longer greatest in upholding Jesus Christ as Lord. But God says that the punishment of Americans, because they will not separate from the harlotry of Mystery Babylon. When I bring the prophecies, the minute I finish this prophecy and upload it, just watch. The rebellion, she never says anything good. She always talks about this country, but everyone else is doing it too. It's going to kick up across all platforms because the demons are never at rest. When God speaks, the demons in people also have to reply. So because people refuse to go into the process whereby they separate themselves from the identity of Mystery Babylon, many will look back. Many will grieve and cry. Notice that God has not said that people will grieve and cry because they're wounded at how they treated God to the point that he will judge this nation like that. No, no, no. They're simply grieved at the judgment, but not grieved, as Ezekiel 9 says we should be, over the sins that are committed here. This family gutted that house and bounced. They left that sprawling property. It's not easy to get property that is inside a stand of trees. It's not easy. And the realtors know that if the trees grow in such a way that they form a natural fence, they give you free privacy that you actually don't need to build walls. Realtors know that that's prime real estate, and such a property would not be cheap. But nobody in the house, the kids, the parents, their trusted Latin American friend, nobody glanced back twice. The house was as disposable as Kleenex and Charmin Ultra Strong. They realized that this section of our life is over. Let's move. They didn't call anybody. They didn't do phone calls. They didn't text a single soul. In fact, everybody put their phones into airplane mode. Do you know how risky it is to be having your wife behind you with an infant, and yet you put your phone in airplane mode and you are trusting simply that you can keep her in your line of sight through one of the side mirrors, but you're not risking a phone call coming in because Doug wants to know, hey, what's going on? Are you guys okay? You don't want to have any last calls on your phone after such an event. So you're going to trust that you can use your eyes to keep your wife and other children in sight, but you're not going to risk being on the general phone telecommunications wire while you're trying to make your escape. Intelligent people. And so we're going, and the dad is making sure that me and his son are kept in the back. And the boy keeps saying, Dad, I want to sit with you. Dad, I want to be with you. And the father says no. He says, Son, America is at war. He tells his son, once something like this has happened, there's going to be war. Even if we don't know who did it yet, son, we're at war. Planes could already be on their way over here. And when planes drop bombs, it's devastating. He said, bombs make shrapnel fly everywhere. It could hit this windscreen. Something could jump up, kick up off the road, hit this windscreen. And he says, when that happens, that's glass in the face of everyone who's sitting up here. I prefer you guys stay put at the back. But this boy kept saying, Dad, we need to stick together. We need to be together. And it was almost as if there's a heart emoji in this teenager, you know, the love emoji in his heart. We need to be together. Dad, what if this is our last time? Don't you think we need to see each other? And so this boy is wearing on his father, until finally the father said, you can come up front. So the dad led him up front, and then I was able to lie back down across the entire seat. I had the entire back seat to myself, and I was just thinking while they were sitting up there, whispering in soft voices and doing their male bonding. Here's what I was thinking. I was thinking, so, Lord, I've lived long enough to see America being attacked. You always said it, and now it's here. I've lived long enough to see it. And so now what's next? I've lived this far to see what nobody thought could happen, what they all said would never be. It has happened, and now all hell is going to let loose. And I just need to know, am I moving in the right direction with these people, or am I moving another way separately with you? Because war is a permanent thing, God, and nothing gets fixed after that. That's what I was thinking. And then there was noise in real life. I do have some of the noisiest neighbors on the planet. And so playing their PlayStation is what woke me up. They were yelling at their game, and that's what caused me to wake up. And so when I woke up, I was just lying there. I was thinking the same thing. I know that this is coming because, like I said, out of nowhere, God keeps saying to me, it is coming. It is coming. War is coming. America is going to be in a war. And so he spoke to me about what is coming to the United States. And he said that nuclear war will happen in America, both from her enemies and from herself. At a time in the future, America will bomb herself with bombs to get at the insurrectionists who will rise up against the New World Order. She will bomb their strongholds in an attempt to put an end to the rebellion, resulting in a lot of areas becoming unfit for habitation after that. The worst nuclear holocaust, however, will come when Russia and China engage the U.S. in war. They will not hesitate to spoil large areas of land in a bid to drive Americans into specific places to live. They're going to do this to drive people into specified areas that the Russians and the Chinese want people to live, just like you herd cattle into pre-planned places of grazing. This war is coming. and you need to prepare yourself to deal with the realities of war and what it means. On this channel, I think it hasn't even been 3 weeks, there is a prophecy that is called The Realities of War, so you might want to look at that. It can't even be 2 weeks ago that I shared that dream, that message that the Lord gave me. And so you can see here that there's going to be split times of America hitting herself. And in the first time, God has shown me since 2021, and I shared that the United States government is going to go rogue. So many people are still living in this outdated mindset of Democrats versus Republicans, and you don't understand that the America that you know is dying. And the America that you know must die because a new order is coming to light. We're going into a new world whereby the technology alone is going to cause some of you that don't believe me to go into a catatonic state. When you are forced to enter into the world of new technology, new invasive ways, they will invade our privacy so much by robbing us of so much biometrics and keep telling us it's for your safety. We want to scan your eyes because your eyes are very unique. No one has your retinas. And so once we have your retinas on file, you'll be able to go to the mall and you'll be able to join the new train system that we're going to put in place, and you'll be able to do this, and your healthcare access will be much faster. And no one can steal your benefits. No one can steal your benefits because no one can steal your eyes. So they're going to oppress us under the auspices, under the so-called banner of peace and safety. And when people get sick of this, when it becomes so unbearable, there's going to be the rise of insurrectionists, people such as, I guess, philosophy professors, social sciences professors. For instance, you see these young people at all the universities standing up and protesting now about this and about that. There's going to be pushback against the government. And instead of it being the government for the people, by the people, at least the moderate lie that we've all been living under for so long, the government is going to show a different side. You push back and the government is saying the next person who pushes back will be shot in the town square. And then everyone will say, this is America. You can't do that. And then they will protest, and then they will catch some of them and shoot them in the Times Square, in the public square. And then the whole country is going to take a quick left turn. When people are killed here in public, executed on TV, that's when people will realize, oh no, we're in all the dystopian novels that we keep in the New York City Library. We're in 1984. We're in Fahrenheit whatever. We're in Brave New World. We're in the books that we have been dissecting in the universities for years. But no one will believe that we are heading there until we head there. So just the way that God was saying that with an untagged missile, America will never see it coming until we see it coming, meaning until it's fizzing in the sky or until there's a mushroom cloud somewhere in the distance. In the same way, people will never believe that this government is capable of bombing here on home soil until they do bomb here on home soil. The people who react against the government are going to run away somewhere else. They're going to form what is called enclaves, sons of freedom. They're going to run away. These are people like army veterans. You don't go and fight for this country for the last 15 years, 10 years, get your battle scars, come home, and then somebody starts telling you to bow the knee and live like a slave. Obviously, you're naturally not going to take it. You're going to get on your little special ex-soldier chat forum. I don't know, maybe they have walkie-talkies. I don't know where ex-soldiers hang out. But they're going to start talking, and they're going to get together, and they're going to start doing a lot of Born in the USA stuff, because that's what people do. And when you do that, this government that God has always told us is not upholding American ideals. It is the hardest thing for people here to understand, that you're American, but the government is not. The government is not. The government is Satanist. It's serving a whole different kingdom. And that kingdom isn't even earthly. These people are neck deep in Daniel chapter 7. These people are neck deep, eyebrow deep in Revelation 13. They don't care about your little elections that you're so worked up over. They have already skipped right out of the realm of social sciences. And they are working hard to bring about the rulership of the beast system. Because in it, they will work hand in hand with creatures who are not of this earth. And those creatures don't care about independents, Republicans, and Democrats. They don't care. The devils that they are working to introduce into our society so that we can have a new society do not care about human ideals, human functionaries. They care about much higher things, like who's going to rule the universe. Imagine you're working on an A and B brain, and someone has gone right out of the English alphabet and is working on ancient Sumerian tablets and seeing those ancient prophecies of the returns of the gods come to pass. It's like asking a cockroach, what do you think about world peace? And most of us do not want to acquire the mind of Christ so that we can also see what the mind of Christ is concerning the higher things. We just want to talk about Donald Trump and Joe Biden, and it's sad to see. So the government will bomb itself at some point, trying to get at people who rebel against the things that they'll be doing. They'll be trying to bomb those people out of their strongholds to get them to come out so that the soldiers can grab them and kill them and make a public example of them. And God says, as a result of all this King Saul hunting David in the rocks and caves, a lot of areas in America are simply going to become unfit because these people are going to be sending, yes, the term is dirty bombs. The United States is going to do that, and Russia is also going to do that. It's these bombs that don't explode with nuclear fire. They are filled with used nuclear components, and when you bomb them, the whole area becomes radioactive, and people get sick there and things like that. And then also Russia and China will make it worse because they will definitely use nuclear fire. And so there's no point in worrying about things in the future that you cannot change. Certain things, you are not going to pray them away because these things are marked against America as judgment for her sin. So what's important then is paying attention to where are you now, emotionally, mentally, and everything else, spiritually. Where are you now? And when you pray about the future, you're not praying for God to change the future. You are praying for God to change you. The future is set. But you're not. If you're not prepared, you're praying to God to grant you the grace, the maturity, and the courage to change so that who you will be in the future is very different from the paralyzed, stressed out, perhaps fearful, perhaps hopeless, perhaps depressed person that you may be right now. You pray about the future concerning who you will be in the future and the keeping power of God so that when you get there, it won't be too horrible. A lot of people are unhappy now because they spend all their time thinking ahead to a time that hasn't come yet. So you listen to a dream like this and then go through the entire rest of the week stressed about a dream that has not yet come to pass. You're not there yet, but you think about it and then you feel hopeless. You try to tell other people, they reject you. That's because the world is in people. How are people going to believe you when they just got done with a fabulous Super Bowl season and they're looking forward to whatever it is that they're looking forward to? People are not going to believe you until they are forced to believe you. So the best thing to do is to realize the limitations of what you can do versus what you can't do. And then you learn to exist within the limitations or the freedoms that are available to you in the moment. And no one is limited from talking to Jesus Christ as much as they want. Nothing stops you from praying the Psalms because you've heard a prophecy. The Psalms are full of how to lay your life down before God and ask God to walk with you. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. That part of the Bible didn't erase because a nuclear war is coming to this country. You're free to lift it up so that when the nuclear war comes, goodness and mercy, since you've been calling on them, they will keep following you in those times. But they're not going to follow you if all you do is cry and stress and say, what are we to do? So, an example is this. A war is coming and you end up having to flee to Mexico. Listen to this family. They all had passports. Do you have a passport? How many dreams do you need before you apply for one? That's a distinguishing That's a distinguishing factor right there. Remember at the very beginning of the dream, I said that the Lord showed me that war, nuclear war, is coming to America. And for some, the transition will be successful, and for others, not successful. You do know that Mexico is a sovereign country. Mexico is not obliged to open its borders to Americans just because Americans have decided not to implement their border policies from Mexico. Mexico's not obliged to open their borders to a country that just a few years ago was mocking them and building a wall. Keep them out. That's right. Now all of a sudden you want to flow that way. And Mexico's like, that's great. We still operate customs here properly. Do you have a passport? Then you don't have a passport. Then they tell you, please step out of line. We're processing those who have legitimate documents that sovereign nations use to cross borders. So if Mexico is the closest place for some to flee to, you get to decide what your fleeing experience is going to be like. If you end up going free of charge to Mexico in blacked out cars driven by cool-headed people, you have to admit that that is an exclusive experience. And that's because you could end up fleeing on foot by night, which is tiring and very frustrating and scary if you're a female or a guy who doesn't know how to fight. You might end up having to take one of these rural buses. You might end up having to hitchhike, which could be dangerous. Or you could end up going with other people, but because they're not prepared, it could be a very annoying and a soul-shredding experience. People who are crying, people who are stressed the whole way, people who are working on your nerves. Or you could end up going the way I was going. I had my own passport. I'm not a child, so nobody was holding my passport. I had everything provided for me. And I was able to thank God in this dream for the way that he was taking me to safety. He was making my transition easier and not harder than it had to be. This woman in the dream, the mom, had packed every conceivable thing that a family needs to start over in a new country and not draw attention to themselves by going and having to buy this and having to buy that, and also not having to spend money. This woman had packed everything down to spoons. She had spoons, plate, flatware, her good silverware. She had taken everything that was not nailed down and packed it into the vans, especially her van and the last van, so that she could furnish her new Mexican house out of her old house and save them from spending money. This family did not have a house in Mexico. They were simply going to cross. This is what God downloaded in my heart. They're going to cross the border. They're going to live in a hotel. They're going to keep a low profile. They're going to make a few inquiries. This man and the Hispanic friend who spoke the language. And they're going to buy whatever they find that works for them on the spot. All of this, the Lord told me this. And so I never said a thing to these people while I was in their midst. Beyond polite conversation. I didn't have to ask them a single thing, but God gave me the entire plan and told me, go with them. And so the situation was all right with me. The second dream that I had, right, is that after I woke up, after I was rudely awakened, and I managed to jot this down, I kind of dozed off again. And the second dream that I had was very simple and just, I guess, just clips and also by spiritual knowing. And that dream is that America is going to go on a military cycle very soon. America is going to go into what is known as high military alert. And God was showing me that America is going to come under wartime protocols, whatever that means. I can't exactly say that I know what a wartime protocol is, but if you can just think back, the last time that America had formalized wartime protocols was when she joined the war against Hitler. That was the last time that she was on recognizable wartime protocols, was when she formally declared war in the Second World War and she joined the Allies. And for that, we can look back in history and see that it's pretty specific things that countries do when they go on official wartime protocols. They changed everyday civilian life. So if you're used to going to the bank and withdrawing all that you can, they put controls on cash. They put controls on food. They may commandeer certain areas of the country and restrict them and call them no travel zones. So you're used to using a certain highway, you're used to using a certain bridge, you're used to using a certain airfield. The government will simply say, we need this space to convert it into this. We need this to convert it into a munitions factory. We need to turn this Walmart into something. And then everyday life changes because they suspend civilian rules and they start to use army rules for everything. This may include limitations on travel, curfews, rationing of goods, limited government spending on other important needs like infrastructure, roads, airports, schools, and all that money might start to flow to highly increased spending for the military. The Lord says America is going on high alert and that we should look for the news to start telling us citizens are advised to do this, citizens are advised to do that, citizens are advised to not do this, and we will be told what is best for us to do and what is better for us not to do instead of what we normally do, and it will be attributed to the times that we are in. High alert, high watchdog status, more government controls. That is the kind of thing that we are going to start hearing in the future that is ahead for us. And so you have heard the message delivered by the grace of God with all the explanation that my spirit is capable of bringing to you. The title of this message is Nuclear Devastation in the United States, just one day ago, April the 22nd, 2024. So I'm sharing with you the things that God is saying. And then, of course, someone will come and say, well, when is this supposed to happen? It will happen when it happens. I don't give dates here. I'm not a crystal ball. I'm someone who is listening to the Holy Spirit, staying highly tuned, because I'm every bit as vested in honoring God by doing this work, but also walking in wisdom. And that starts with not walking in unbelief. You will never know godly wisdom if you are a person of unbelief. Unbelief is something that is so accursed in the eyes of God. And let me go ahead and share what happened today when I was praying for a friend of mine. A friend of mine came across a problem in her life, situation that's been brewing for a while. And I've been offering her love and assistance and care by praying with her for this information. And so we're praying about this thing today, highly locked in. And as we're praying, the Lord begins to interrupt the prayer and start to talk about things. And I actually had to pause the prayer and say to her, you know, my sister, I'm pouring out my heart here for you. And the Lord is going above what we are asking of him for you specifically. And he's starting to talk about other things. And one of the things, because he said several things, but one of the things I will point out that the Lord said here is, said or showed me, is that I saw someone walk up to me. So I was holding what looked like rolled up scrolls. Why am I looking around as if I keep scrolls in the house? I was holding rolled up scrolls in my hand. So I saw myself at a bit of a distance to get a full view. I was standing and I was holding rolled up scrolls in my hand. And a person walked up to me and snatched the scroll out of my hand, unrolled it, looked at the message on it, and then tore the scroll into two, and then put the two next to each other, and then tore it into four, and then put the four next to each other, and tore it into eight, and then tore it, until they had itty-bitty pieces of paper. And then they flung the papers in the air and began to laugh uproariously. And they walked away. And then new scrolls appeared in my hand, two hands. And then more people walked up to me and took the scrolls, literally snatched. So my arms are simply down and I'm holding the scrolls in a relaxed posture. And then more people walked up to me and snatched the scrolls, opened it, and began to laugh as if what was written on these scrolls was so funny, so hopelessly preposterous and funny. And they started tearing the scrolls up in front of me, having such a fantastic time tearing it up in my face and laughing, and then just into the air, confetti. And they would just throw the confetti all over me and walk away. And I was saying to her, this is how these people are going to die. Because even the king in the Bible did not do this to Jeremiah. I think the king who tore up all Jeremiah's hard work was King Zedekiah, and that is why God punished him so harshly. King Zedekiah was the king who was installed after the one before him. Jeconiah was taken away when Nebuchadnezzar did a first raid and managed to grab some of them and took them away, but he wanted the entire city to fall. And so the young prince was installed, and he was so hard-hearted. This man was a next level. And God said to Jeremiah, you know all the prophecies that I've been giving you up to now? I want you to collate all those prophecies, which means collect all the prophetic words that I've given you and write them down into a book and send them to the king. So Jeremiah did not have a MacBook like I do. Jeremiah did not have access to electronic tools. He was using parchment and quill, writing these things out or dictating to his scribe Baruch. And Baruch was writing down all the prophetic messages that Jeremiah has been bringing as they are approaching the end of what is going to be a 40-year career prophesying the truth of God's word. Jeremiah collates all these things, and then they roll it up into what must have been a very thick series of scrolls, and they send them to the king. The king reads these things. He doesn't like anything that he hears of them, and then he throws them into the fire. But King Zedekiah does not laugh about the prophecies, because King Zedekiah is descended from a long line of Israelite kings who know that this is the God who opened the sea and their ancestors walked through, who knows that this is the God who raises the dead, who knows that this is the God that brought in their midst people like Elijah, people like Elisha, people like Samuel. So he doesn't laugh. He has his tantrum. He has his disrespect. He takes prophetic words and he throws them in the fire, knowing that the words don't belong to Jeremiah per se. Yes, they form Jeremiah's book. It's Jeremiah's name who will be on that cache of prophecies. But this man burns what God has to say, as if to say, please listen to me. I will remove these words from the earth by burning them. And when God was ready to respond to Zedekiah, God removed all of his living issue by allowing the Babylonians to kill all his sons in front of him. When the nation finally fell in the siege, they brought all the young princes to be, and they killed them right in front of their father, holding him captive, forcing him to watch. And then immediately that the last one was gurgling on his blood, they speared the father's eyes. Those people in those days were some next level kind of psychological something. You watch all your children killed in front of you, and then they make sure that that's the last thing you ever see. This is how I teach my intercessors. This is what we talk about when we're on that line. The proper way to approach God, the proper way to handle God's things, because the way that God will answer you, you will need therapy, you will need ice cream, you will need 60 years to recover from the kind of thing that the Father can do to you for disrespect against him, for dishonor against him. You might end up rocking somewhere for a while. Anyone who has been taken to the woodshed to be disciplined by God for stuff that you refuse to stop doing, you know that what I'm telling you is the absolute facts. You know that whoever doesn't want to honor God willingly, when you are made to honor him, when you read something in the Bible like every knee will bow, this is all knees without exception. This is giant knees, dragon knees, Nephilim knees, elite knees, Rockefeller knees, all the knees will bow. Every knee will bow. And what is unspoken but a fact is that those knees will bow whether they want to or not. They killed that man's sons in front of him. And then right after that, they blinded him so that he would never see another sunrise. He would never look upon another baby being born to soothe the heart of losing his children. He would never see another good thing. The last photographic image burned upon his retina would always be all his seed gurgling in their blood. on their way to outer darkness. America takes God as an option. He's not an absolute here, which is unbelievable for a nation that brands itself and markets itself to gullible people out there like Africans. Africans truly believe that this is the home of Christianity. They've drunk so much Kenneth Copeland and John Hagee Kool-Aid, Joyce Meyer Kool-Aid, that you can't talk to people outside this country to let them know that T.D. Jakes and Joel Osteen are not the monoliths that they think they are. America has successfully filled the world with her harlotries while managing to retain an imaginary crown as the home of righteousness, holiness, and people who truly love God. But when I'm busy praying for a friend who needs an answer, and I'm certain that the Lord will answer my friend, because whenever God redeems the time of a prayer, whenever he breaks through and he takes away that time that we're seeking an outcome, I am positive that he will give it. And he's simply saying, let's wind it up. I have something else to show you. Let's wind it up. I want to talk about something else. God is saying that in this country, I'm prophesying and I'm preparing scrolls for people to come, especially on TikTok. This is where they, wow, that is really the spot. I have learned about humanity after having been sent there since, I think it's almost a year. God sent me there last year in June, told me to join that platform. The Holy Spirit is really strong here. I am so warm. Please excuse me. So I'm laboring and bringing out the Lord's word, and they're forming into scrolls that I have shared here on one of these prophecies last year. I told you that these scrolls, I dreamt that all the prophecies that I prophesied, I would prophesy them and they would go, and a seal was pressed on them. And then they went up to heaven and I saw them going into a basket. And each prophecy was numbered 1, 2, 3, 4. So only God knows the numbering, because I simply bring out the message as I get it. But the scrolls went up to heaven and they were put in a basket and they were sitting there and awaiting their time. And then I said that I dreamt again that same night, and I saw that the time had come on earth for the prophecies to begin to fulfill. And in heaven, the scrolls started breaking, and on earth, prophecies to do with earthly things. There's some prophecies that just have to do with changes on the earth, changes in humanity. The scrolls started breaking for the earthly prophecies, the ones that were suspended in heaven. They started breaking heavenly things, such as the return of ancient gods, ancient personalities. One of the things that I've dreamt recently in the last 7 days is that I saw that the fallen ones will come to earth, definitely here in the United States. And I saw that they had a so-called school of learning. I may as well tell you, because these things are not going to form separate prophecies. I saw that the aliens, let's just call them that, the fallen ones, they call themselves many things, brothers, kinship. They will literally present themselves as if they have strong points of commonality with us. They established a school. They established a place whereby it was almost as if it was a mix of a school, a mix of a training facility, and a mix of a museum. If you wanted to know more about them, you could go there. If you wanted to know more about their way of life, their so-called planet that they will say they're from, they're not from any planet. There is a divide between the worlds. We live here in this dimension where the rain comes this way and the water flows downward and all that. They live across that divide, right on the other side. If you have a neighbor who lives in 3B and you live in 4B, just like that, the person on the other side of the wall is not in a different universe. He's literally on the other side of the drywall. That's how these creatures are. They live behind a dimension from us. Well, they came and they said that they came from a star system and they would have a representation of their world in their museum. They had courses where you could come and through AI, you could you know, experience, have an immersive experience through AI, just a load of horseradish, really. And my, it was standing room only at that place. God said that they will literally cultivate love for them in the hearts of all who are curious about them. And that's why you won't catch me. You will never catch me. You can't catch me around such things, because I have learned of God that curious people have tiny lifespans, very tiny, very short. Curious people, people who hear me speaking for an hour and then will say, but Celestial, do you think the hybrids know that they are hybrids? I already know that the Star Spangled Banner funeral flag, they're pressing, they're ironing one for people like that right now. Because when these creatures come, you won't stay away from them. No way, no how. Why should you listen? No, you're one of the people who take prophecies and tear up the scrolls. The minute they come and establish learning centers, interactive centers, anything that they establish to draw the love of people to them, don't forget they're going to be working with craft, spiritual gifting, that when you see them explaining how happy they are to be there, you will start to feel interest and love grow in you. And that's because you are not filled with the Holy Spirit. The Lord was speaking to me about this, and he was telling me, my daughter, endeavor always to be filled with the Spirit of God. And he was saying to me, just in my heart, whoever is not filled with the love for God, you have nice, big, empty spaces for Anunnaki to fill, for the people from the Sirius Dog Star to fill, for the hybrids to fill. Whoever is not filled with a love for God, you have nice big gaps for your curiosity to bubble, toil and trouble. And when creatures come, we'll find you in the line at the Get to Know the Creature festivals and fairs. Because being told that they're wicked is not enough for you. It's not enough for you for God to say don't, and then you accept that as the whole of the gospel of your soul. God says don't. It is the entire gospel for some of us. And I insist on that with people who come near this ministry. I always tell them, when God says something and you need to go deeper into why, you will never have access to the deeper things of this ministry. Absolutely never will I teach you them or allow you to enter into them. Because what you're telling me is the Lord cannot speak and that be the cutoff for you. That was the cutoff for Israel in the Bible, because they knew when God said don't and you crossed, there was no discussion. It was your funeral. So they learned to keep God's line. They learned to keep and obey God's law because it meant death. But death has been retired for many, many centuries. Would you not say? Death has been retired out of Christianity. But now through this ministry, it's coming back. It will not be one person. It will not be five people. It will be so many people that the fear of God will come back into the camp. We will be living in awe of God with no space in us to go beyond the word, thou shalt not. As a believer in these end times, we're already back in the Old Testament, but when people hear it, they get offended. We're not back in the Old Testament. We're not under law. We're under grace. May Russia bring you all the grace. When you see them here, you will find out what you're under. You will experience it real time, HD, IMAX. If you know that the ancient peoples, their enemies swarmed them, and then you would hear, and 60,000 fell in one day because of their disobedience to the Lord. When you see 60,000 fall in Dearborn, Michigan, when those Muslims get going, you will understand what it means to be back in the Old Testament. Back in the Old Testament simply means, if you can read it between Genesis and Malachi, you will live it again. There's nothing new under the sun. Everything that was done has already been done. God will bring it all back. He will bring it all back. And then we will have understanding that thou shalt not has no comma after it. Just a full stop. I'm Celestial, and this is the Master's Voice Prophecy Blog. The prophecy you have been listening to is nuclear devastation in the United States, April 22nd, 2024, a prophecy of the various stances that people will hold, the different stances of preparation that people have now, the stances of preparation that people are welcome to work and pray their way into between now and the time that these happen, that America will suffer. Nuclear bombs here, a nuclear explosion is going to come that will find families in different stages of preparation. The news will be running nonstop stories about it. America will be hesitant at first to speak about who bombed her because they simply won't know, and they will be aware that the tension in the world at the moment could make things worse if they accuse the wrong person. Families will be forced to flee. So the question is, are families getting ready now, or are they buying extra houses and building homes in Babylon? I'm Celestial. This is the Master's Voice. The Holy Spirit is always available to you. Peace be unto you when you hear the word of the Lord. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. And at the right and proper time, because God is faithful, he will lift you up. Until I see you again, God bless you. And please do not respond to scammers on these various platforms. I'm not in your inbox chatting with you. I am not in your inbox telling you that I had a dream about you. I am not in your inbox asking you to sow a seed to orphanages in Nigeria. I am not in your inbox trying to strike up a conversation and telling you that there's witchcraft, but I can pray it away if you sow a seed. I'm not in your inbox at all. I'm either working, I'm sleeping, or I'm here. So please be wise when you're on the internet. Don't reveal your financial information. To those of you who give to this ministry, the Lord bless you so much. May the Father return it back to your hand 1,000-fold. May the Lord give you what it is that you stand in need of in your moment of need. You share with me your material things, but many of you are in need of something that goes beyond what you sow. The Holy Spirit knows exactly that area of weakness. I call it the spongy place, the place in your tree branch that is weak, that if pressure is put there, the entirety of what you hold dear is going to crack and fall off. I always pray for you that God will turn that sponge to wood, that he will make it solid, that if you are a coward, the Lord strengthen you in your knowledge and understanding of the times that are ahead. There is no pressure to sow. You do not have to sow to listen to this ministry. All you need is a humble heart, 5 minutes of your time to pay attention to what I'm saying. You hear something, you don't understand it. This is a video. Run it back. Run it back. Be responsible for what you hear. Listen, run it back until you get it. Take it to your prayer closet. Pray it through. The problem is not praying it through. The problem is laziness in adults. You hear information, but what? You can't do this. Please understand. Have you seen the videos of the Chinese babies and what the Chinese babies are getting up to in kindergarten? Those children are able to cook a full meal before they're 5 years old. I don't even understand who's allowing Chinese babies to be near active stoves. They go to kindergarten and they prepare their own food in the kindergarten and eat it. They even make the food that the teachers eat at break time. How are Chinese babies doing this? And then as an adult, you can't listen to information. Run it back, pray it through, and say, the Lord help me to understand what Celestia was talking about. It's scary. It's scary. We cannot be this way. We cannot be this way. Thank you if you are a blessing. The Lord will put it back in your hands if you need it, but he will give you more than the physical thing that you sow. Everything here is free. Everything here is from God. Just eat and let the spongy bit get whole, get strong, get healed. God bless you, and until I see you again, goodbye.